Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Brachos Daf Chof. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins 4 lines from the top of Daf Chof. The immediate topic heading that we have on the side under the heading Nosei, we have written, Maishno Rishonim, Disrachish Lehuniso. What is the difference between the earlier generations that miracles happened for them? And we will see here also a discussion concerning Mesirus Nefesh Lemitzvahs. One thing is related to another. It means the idea of one extending himself for the purpose of mitzvahs. In our previous sugya, we saw this idea of someone who, let us say, we saw in the name of Rav Yehuda Marav, that on Daf Yud Tes, if someone were wearing clothing and he discovered that they were made of shatnez, so that for the sake of the mitzvah, shatnez of course is forbidden. It's a mixture of wool and linen. It is forbidden to wear such garments, and if one discovers that he is wearing them, even if it's in a public area, he is expected to strip himself of those clothing, even though he is going to appear unclothed, which would be a extreme expression of a lack of dignity, to say the least. Nevertheless, when it comes to mitzvah performance, sometimes one is expected to go all out. So with that is spirit in mind, we continue our Gemara with an opening involving a question. Hence we have a shin that's encircled to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line. Omale Rav Popola Vaye, my shno rishonim disrachish lehunisa. What is different about the earlier generations, and the Gemara will give a concrete example of this, that they benefited from having miracles wrought for them, umay shno anan delo misrachish lon nisa. And when it comes to us, we don't merit having miracles done. And when we talk about miracles, we'll see what the context is, because one shouldn't confuse this question with what we mention in the davening, in the Shemona Esrei, that we are beneficiaries of miracles all the time. Those are miracles that are part of the natural process, that are spectacular things that take place, and many times a person isn't even aware of them. But nevertheless, you'll see from the Gemara what the reference is when we go on. So the Rav Papa is asking, what is the difference between those earlier generations that were the beneficiaries of miracles, and we don't. We are not. Imishum tenuye, if you'll ascribe it to the lack of intellectual learning abilities, Torah learning abilities of our generation, and the earlier generations had greater learning abilities, that, in fact, is not true. B'shnei de Rav Yehuda, in the years of Rav Yehuda, now, Rav Yehuda, relative to Rav Papa, was a number of generations before. You're talking about a period of maybe 150 years earlier. So, what is different about the years of Rav Yehuda, and if you'll say it's because of learning, well, in those earlier generations, like that of Rav Yehuda, Kulei Tenuye B'Nezikin Havei, they were able to delve into the depths of learning only within the realm of Nezikin. And Rashi points out that Nezikin is really the name of the three Masichtes, Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, and Bava Basra. and namely that all of their learning prowess was limited to Nezikin. V'anan komasninon shiso sidri. And with regard to our learning, we are able to cover all six orders of the Shas: Zroim, Moyed, Noshim, Nezikin, Kochim, Taras. So that as far as learning is concerned, our abilities are far more extensive, even though we are a later generation. And furthermore, v'chiyavi moti Rav Yehuda b'uksin, and when Rav Yehuda would come to the topic of uksin, uksin is the name of a masichta in Seder Taras, and when he would get to an issue raised over there, ho'isha shekeveshes yerek b'kedero v'amilo zeisim shekovshim b'tirpein tahorin, the topic there involves a woman who koveshes his pickles, vegetables in a pot. In other words, she preserves vegetables. Or zeisin are olives, shikovshan v'tirpein, that their olives are pickled together with their stems. The leaves and stems of these different vegetables, when they are fresh, they serve as a yad. A yad is a handle, something you can hold in order to move the item. And as such, it is mekabel tuma. It serves the food item, and it conducts tuma from some outside source to the fruit. That's called a yad. Now, once they're pickled, so they become flexible, flaccid, and hence they do not serve anymore in that capacity, and that's why they are called tahorim. They lose their handle value. And when Rav Yehuda would get to this particular topic, Omar, he would say, Havayas deravu shmu kuchazino hocha. I see difficulties, havayas are questions of analysis and matters of deep understanding I see over here. In other words, for him it was a very challenging topic. Rashi says, Klomar tam ha-mishnayas halo kosha olai. The understanding of these mishnayas, said Rav Yehuda, regarding the issues in Maaseches Uksin are difficult for me. Kechol ha-kushit shoyu shnei raboisim iskashin ben b'chol ha-gemorah. Just like the difficulties and the depths of questionings that his rabbis, that was Rav and Shmuel, were the rebbes of Rav Yehuda when they were learning, so they would involve themselves in deep issues of understanding. So that's how Rav Yehuda reacted to Seder Uksin, like Rav and Shmuel related to all of the Shas. And Va'anan, says Rav Papa to Abaye, he says, Va'anan komasninon be'uksin tleisar misifta. And we have 13 different ways of understanding those Mishnayos. And those, for us, we don't find them extremely challenging to the extent that we can't make headway in it. We've got 13 different approaches to things over there. So, as far as learning is concerned, we are not on any lesser, if anything, we're on a far greater level of learning, which is very interesting to note, because many times there is a certain sentiment expressed that as time goes on, the learning abilities become less and less. From this Gemara, it would seem that's not necessarily a rule etched in stone. Here you have a major gap in time of several generations from Rav Yehuda down to Rav Papa, and you see that this much later generation was far greater in their learning, in their Torah learning abilities. So how does one explain the fact that the earlier generations, as we saw before, had experienced miracles, and we don't? V'ilu Rav Yehuda, here the Gemara explains that point, and when it comes to Rav Yehuda, and you were dealing, let's say, at a time of fasting, of, in this case we're talking about a time of famine, and prayer was needed for rainfall, and one of the practices, and you can discover this in Maseches Tainis, where the Mishnayos feature the different practices done during the fasting period for rain. One of them is the removal of shoes, in addition to extensive prayer. And it says here, "Vilu Rav Yehuda ki havi sholit chad misanei osi mitra." And Rav Yehuda, in preparing to observe the rules of Tanios for rain, and he would remove just one shoe, all of a sudden the rain would come. Vanan, and we, when faced with similar circumstances, we exert extreme efforts. That's mitzarin nafshin. We strain ourselves in fasting, and we scream in prayer, and no one listens to us. In other words, in heaven and Shomayim and the Almighty doesn't respond. So what's the difference? Why was he Zorcha? What merit did they have that Shomayim responds to them so quickly, and we, on the other hand, is a far cry, pun intended there, far cry from receiving immediate response. Omar Lay, so Abaye answers, Kamoi havekomasrin of Shayo Akdushas Hashem. Those earlier generations used to extend themselves for the sanctification of the name of the Almighty. And Kedushas Hashem isn't necessarily just giving up one's life for the sake of Torah and Judaism, but it has to do with a lifestyle where the prime motive and we'll say major force behind one's life is extending oneself for kiyum hamitzvahs, for fulfillment of mitzvahs. That's what characterized those earlier generations. Anan lo masrino nafshin akdushas Hashem, and we don't extend ourselves like they did. And a story to illustrate that, Kiha de Rav Ado Bar Avo, an incident which shows what this means. Chazeli kusis de havis levisha karbalta b'shuka. There was a heathen woman that was wearing a garment called a karbalta, and it's a type of garment that is, we'll say, it's not something that one would expect a Jewish woman to wear. Sovar de Bas Yisrael hi. Rav Ada thought that this was a Jewish woman. Kom kare mino. He came and ripped it off of her. Igloi milsa de kusis hi. But now, this, we'll say, this type of act is one that, unless one is a very concerned with the dignity and propriety of the Jewish people, one wouldn't do such a thing. Yet he did, and he went so far as to, as we saw, to rip off her garment because of what he felt was lack of dignity for a Jewish woman and the Jewish people. Of course, he discovered that she was a heathen. Igloi milsa de kusis hi. Shaimua ba'arba mea zuzi. Well, since he did something in actuality, something that was a financial wrong, so they evaluated the value of that article of clothing, the karbalta, at 400 zuz. Omar lo, Rav Ada asked her, what's your name? Omra lei, she told him, Mosun, my name is Mosun. And now a play on the words, Omar Lo, Mosun Mosun, the word Mosun also sounds like 200. So he said, Mosun Mosun Arba Mea Zuzi Shavya. 200 and 200 is worth 400. and that's what he was chayev to pay for her. Rashi has another pshat, Mosun, having to do with the word Hamtana. Hamtana means to wait, to delay. That if I would have waited and not acted so rapidly, I would have discovered that it's okay for you to wear that kind of clothing. You're not Jewish. A very interesting piece of Gemara that is worthy of a great deal more analysis because it touches on something so core and fundamental to our whole existence, but that, of course, would be done in another context. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a new marking. We see diamonds. And to the side of the Gemara, we have under our Nosei Mivneh heading, These are Rabbonon, the Yashu Asharei Tvila, examples of rabbis that sat at the entrance way, the gates of mikvois, where women, after observing their tumah period, their nidah period, they would go to mikveh, and then after the mikveh, they would be able to experience intimacy once again with their husbands. So you have stories of two rabbonim that sat at the gates in anticipation of the women noticing them. Rav Gidol, have a rogil davi ko'ozil v'yosef asharei detvila. He would sit by the gates of the mikvois. Omar Lahu, he would be there for the purpose of instructing the women of how to properly immerse themselves. Of course, they were sitting outside the actual structure of the mikveh, but they were in proximity. So, and he would, Omar Lahu, Hachi Tavilu, Vahachi Tavilu. He would explain to them the rules of Tvila. Amri Le Rabbonan. So Rabbonan asked Rav Gidol, Lo Kol Mistafi Mor Miyet Sahora. Are you not afraid of encountering the evil inclination? After all, you're a man, these are women, basically younger type women, and that's the ideal environment for arousing the evil inclination. Omar Lahu, so he said back to them, he answered them, Danyan ba'apoi kikoki chivri. They are, in my eyes, like white geese. In other words, Rav Gidol was on such a spiritual level that he had overcome, we'll say, this particular type of evil inclination, that he didn't notice them, he didn't see them in this, in an alluring fashion, and was able to position himself there and not inflame the Yetzer Hara. There is another reference to something like this that one can find in Maseches Ksubis Staff Yud Zayin, where one of the Gedolei Amoroyim was dancing with a bride on his shoulders, and the students asked him, could we also dance with the bride on our shoulders? And of course, at a wedding, he said to them, well, if she's like a beam of wood to you, so go ahead. In other words, another example of someone who had worked on his Yetzer Hara, subdued it to the extent that he could do these things and not be involved with what otherwise would be a sin. Rav Yochanan, going on in the Gemara, Rav Yochanan have a rogil David ka'ozil v'yosef asharei detvila. He would sit at the entranceway to mikvois, and he was there for a different reason. Omar, kisalkun b'nois Yisrael v'asyon mitvila, when the women emerge from their immersion, mistaklun bi, they will gaze upon me. And Rav Yochanan was a man of great beauty, as the Gemara in Bava Metzia describes. And after they come forth from the mikveh and notice me, they will have my form, my appearance in their minds, and that has an influence on the type of child that they may conceive after this immersion experience. In other words, what one sees or what one envisions at the time of intimacy has an influence on the outcome. So he was trying to benefit the women and these families by influencing the outcome of whatever conception may result from this immersion, from after their immersion. V'nehevi luhu zara, and they will have children, deshapiri kavosi, that are beautiful like me. By the way, Rabbi Yochanan and beauty was referred to in the first parak of this Masechta in his encounter with Rebbe Lozar, and on the superficial level of understanding, we noticed in the Gemara there that Rebbe Lozar had Rabbi Yochanan met Rebbe Lozar, and Rabbi Yochanan found Rebbe Lozar crying, and upon asking him why is he crying, so he says, Al hai shufa devali afra, on this beauty, and referring to Rabbi Yochanan, that eventually decomposes and turns to dust. So we see an association between Rabbi Yochanan and beauty even in this Masechta, in addition to what we mentioned from the 7th parak of Bava Metzia. Amri le Rabbonan. So the Rabbonan asked Rabbi Yochanan, Lo ko mistafi mor me'ino bisha. Are you not worried about the ayin hora, the evil eye? In other words, women will see you and say, well, why couldn't we have husbands as beautiful as this man? That would arouse the ayin hora, and ayin hora is something that we find numerous references to this throughout the Shas. It's a type of we'll call it a metaphysical reality, and it's something that a person ought to guard himself from. Amar Luhu, so Rabbi Yochanan answered, Ano Mizara de Yosef Kosino, I am a descendant from the tribe of Yosef, the Lo Sholta Bei Aino Abisha. The tribe of Yosef was granted special protection from the Ayin Hora. And there are three sources, and we've numbered them off as we go on in the Gemara, three sources for this phenomenon. The Pasuk says, in the context of the blessings that Yaakov Avinu bestowed upon his children, and when it came to Yosef, Ben Poras Yosef, Ben Poras Ale Ayin. That is a Pasuk, the Omer of Yochanan, the Omer of Yavo, Al Tikri Ale Ayin, Elo Ule Ayin. Don't read it as Ale Ayin, but rather Ule Ayin, and Rashi explains, Ule Ayin Mesulokin Mino Ayin, removed from the eye. She'eno Shulatis Ben, the evil eye has no reign over them. And that's a reference to Yosef, and Rabbi Yochanan being a descendant of that tribe, he benefited from this protection. Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina Omar Mehocha, he offers another source, and this is a posuk that is stated in the context of the descendants of Yosef, the Yidgu Leroiv Bekerev Haaretz. The word V'yidgu has as a root the word dog. Dog is a fish. The Pasuk itself is a reference to the prolific nature of that tribe, of the descendants of Yosef. Ma dogim shebiyam mayim chasin aleim v'ein ayin horash l'azusmayim. Just like fish of the sea are covered by water and hence are not exposed to the eye, the evil eye, one cannot see them. Af zaro shel Yosef ein ayin hora shel Ezbam. So too, the descendants of Yosef are not ruled over by or under the control of the evil eye. Viboy Sema, another approach. This is a non-scriptural approach, but it explains the uniqueness of Yosef and hence his descendants. Yosef, as many will recall, was enticed by the wife of Potiphar, who was his employer. Or his master, and he resisted her enticements. And regarding that, it says, "Ayin shelo rotsa lozun limasha eino shelo." The eye, namely Yosef's eye, did not want to benefit from that which was not his, namely to have to experience intimacy with someone else's wife. So he had this characteristic of his eye being restrained. So ein ayin hora shaletes bo. So the evil eye is also restrained from having reign over Yosef and his descendants. So Rabbi Yochanan was not worried about that. The Meforshim raised the question: why is it that in the case of Rabbi Yochanan, the issue of that was raised against Rav Gittel isn't raised over here? Namely, they asked Rav Gittel, "Aren't you worried about the yetzer hara, about noticing the women and being allured by that?" So why in the case of Rabbi Yochanan was that not an issue? So it's pointed out that Rabbi Yochanan had a certain type of, we'll say, eye, physical eye construction, a large eyelid. Apparently it didn't ruin his good looks, but whatever it was a type of eyelid that was, and this is featured in other Gemaras, that covered his eyes to the extent that he, through his normal posture, simply wouldn't notice things around him. So therefore, the Yetzer Hara arousal doesn't begin in the case of Rabbi Yochanan. The Mishnah, at the bottom line of Daf Chof Amud Aleph, Noshim Vavodim Uktanim Pturin Mikriyashma. We continue at the top of Omid Beis, Umin Atfilim. women, slaves, and minors are exempt from Kriyat Shema and from Tefillin. Rashi points out at the bottom of Omad Aleph, and Tosfos disagrees with this. Rashi says, "Ktanim afilu katan shegia lechinuch." Even a child who has reached an age of education, he's educable. Lo hitilu al oviv lechantu b'kriyat Shema. The Chachamim did not impose on his father to educate him in Kriyat Shema, to create a sense of regularity in this mitzvah. The father often is not around when the time of Kriyat Shema arrives. In other words, people would leave their homes early for work, and that before children were up from their sleep, so he was not around for the recitation of Kriyat Shema on time. Also, regarding tefillin, children are exempt, noshim and avodim as well. And with regard to children, the reason that we don't have children wearing tefillin, because tefillin require what's called a guf noki, where they do not pass wind from their digestive systems, and children don't control themselves in that area, and it's hence not dignified for tefillin. Yet v'chayovin b'tefila uve mezuzo uve birkas hamazon. Tefillin, tefila, that's shmona esrei, and mezuzo and birkas hamazon, those that were mentioned as exempt in the Reisha are obligated here in the Sefer regarding these mitzvahs. The Rashi adds that tefillah is an entity that's called rachami. It's beseeching for one's welfare, and it's something that's midrabbanan, and they established it for women and also for children to be educated in it. With regard to mezuzah, so mezuzah is something women are bound to because it's a mitzvah to say, it's a positive command that is not time bound. One fixes a mezuzah to his domicile, and it's there day and night. It's not time related. With regard to birchas hamazon, there is an issue raised in the Gemara. The level of obligation that they have, especially women, with regard to birchas hamazon, is it a Torah level obligation or a rabbinic obligation? That will be seen in the Gemara. And now the Gemara goes through the different mitzvahs mentioned in the Mishnah. And now, under our Nosei heading in the margin, we have written Chiyuv Ptur Noshim B'Mitzvah Shebem Mishnoseinu. Here the Gemara will raise questions regarding the points mentioned in the Mishnah. We will notice a series of double underlines that appear under the word Pshita, and under our Mivneh heading, we indicate that this is Sidroshul Kushes, a series of questions, Pshita, where the points mentioned in the Mishnah seem to be obvious. In other words, even without the Mishnah, I would have understood these to be true, these to be the case. Why does the Mishnah spell out that which I could have figured out on my own? The Gemara now. Kriyat Shema, Pshita. It's obvious that women are exempt from Kriyat Shema. Mitzvah Saseh, Shazman, Groma, Hu. It's a mitzvah that has a fixed time. We know that it's based on Bishachvacha Uvukumecha. Kriyat Shema is not recited at noon time, for example, because that's not the time dictated for Kriyat Shema in the Torah. So it's a mitzvah say that is Shazman Groma, that the time causes it, meaning it's time based. The whole mitzvah say Shazman Groma Noshim Paturas. And as a rule, this is a very well known rule, and it's developed in Maseches Kiddushin, where it's proven that mitzvahs that are time bound, positive mitzvahs that are time bound, positive mitzvahs I say, for example, Kriyat Shema is a mitzvah that one is expected to fulfill. Those kind of mitzvahs, women are exempt. The Gemara, and if that be the case, so Kriyat Shema obviously is not something women are bound to fulfill. So why does the Mishnah have to spell that out? Mahu d'teima, without the Mishnah, I would have thought, Hoyol v'is bo malchus shemayim, since Kriyat Shema involves the acceptance of the yoke of heaven, the acceptance of the divine monarchy, so maybe they should, in fact, say Kriya Shema. Komash Malon, the Mishnah has to tell us that even though it has that very significant aspect to it, nevertheless, they are exempt. Umin HaTfilin, Pshita, the Gemara asks, well, regarding tefillin also, it's obvious that they are exempt. Tefillin are not worn, for example, at night. They're not worn on Shabbos. They are, in fact, time-bound. By the fact that there are time limitations on tefillin, we understand it's a mitzvah saseh shazman groma, and as we just said before, it's obvious that women are exempt. Why does the Mishnah have to spell that out? So the Gemara answers, Ma'u detema, without the Mishnah spelling out their exemption, I would have thought, Hayo v'iskash l'mezuzah, since in the Kriya Shema itself, the psukim that deal with tefillin, ukshatam le'os al yodecha, are in proximity of the psukim dealing with the mezuzah, uchsavtam al mezuzos b'isech v'sho'echa, so that's called a hekish. They are compared or positioned one next to the other. I would have thought that women are bound, just like they are bound to mezuzah. Komash Malon, that they are exempt from the tefillin. Once again, that even though the Torah compares or attaches the mitzvah of tefillin to the mitzvah of mezuzah, and we know by mezuzah women are duty bound, so I would have thought they are duty bound to fulfill tefillin as well. Komash Malon, our Mishnah tells us that they are exempt from tefillin. V'chayoven b'tefillah, women are obligated to say Shmon Esrei, the Rachmi Ninu. It's a recitation to arouse heavenly mercy, and everyone needs heavenly mercy. The Girsa of the Bach suggests that we don't read on with this section that's found in the parentheses, so we continue Uva Mezuzah. The Mishnah said that women are bound to fulfill Mitzvah's Mezuzah. Pshita, it's obvious that they're bound. After all, it's a Mitzvah Saseh, Shelo Hazman Groma. It's not time-bound, therefore women are obligated. Why does the Mishnah have to spell that out? Ma'u detema, without the Mishnah, I would have thought, Hoyo v'iskish l'talmud Torah, since in the second paragraph of the Kriya Shema, the mitzvah of mezuzah is in proximity of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah, the study of Torah, the obligation to study Torah. Women are exempt from the obligation of studying Torah. So I would have thought that Hoyol v'iskish l'Talmud Torah, that since mezuzah is compared to Talmud Torah, because there in the second paragraph of Kriya Shema toward the end it says v'limaditem oisom es b'nechem, and then after that it says uchsavtam al mezuzos b'isecha uvishorecha. So they're in proximity of one another, and just like they're exempt from Talmud Torah, they should be exempted from mezuzah. Komash Malon, the Mishnah tells us not so, that they are obligated in mezuzah. U'bebirkas hamozom, they are obligated to say Birchas HaMazon, according to the Mishnah, Pshita. Once again, that's obvious. After all, it's not a time-bound positive mitzvah. So why does the Mishnah have to spell out that they are obligated in Birchas HaMazon? So Ma'u Detema, one would have thought without the Mishnah, Hoyol Uksiv, since the Pasuk in Shmois says, see, in this pasuk, there's a reference to time. You have erev and boker. So, and regarding birchas hamazon, in fact, it says v'ochalta v'sovato v'erachta. And here you have lechem b'boker lizboa. K'mitzvah saseh shazman groma domi. You would have thought that since birchas hamazon is associated with eating, obviously, and eating is time-bound, as this pasuk indicates, and if that were the case, it's a time-bound positive mitzvah, women would be exempt. Komash Malon, the Mishnah dispels this thought, and says that they are bound. Omar Rav Adar Bar Ava, Noshim Chayovus B'Kiddush Hayom Devar Torah. Women are obligated in the mitzvah of Kiddush, when it comes to Shabbos and Yom Tov, there is a mitzvah to Mekadesh. We make Kiddush over a cup of wine. That's the common practice. In fact, Kiddush is accomplished by a recitation made in the Shemona Esrei. So without getting into the details of exactly how does one accomplish Kiddush, but the recitation, the sanctification of a holy day, like is the case in Shabbos, this is something women must do as well. The Gemara asks on Rav Ado Amai, why are they obligated? Mitzvah Sei Shazman Gromahu. It's a positive, time-bound mitzvah. V'chol Mitzvah Sei Shazman Gromah Noshim Turos. All mitzvahs of that nature, women are in fact exempt. Answer. Two answers. Omar Abaye, Midrabbanan. Abaye says, you are right that on a Torah level, they are actually exempt from Kiddush Hayom. We should point out that the moker for Kiddush Hayom is Zachor Es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadshoi. So it's a positive, time-bound mitzvah. It's done only on Shabbos. And in speaking about their obligation, so Abaye says their obligation is rabbinic. Omar Le Rava, V'hod Devar Torah Komar, but Rav Ada used the expression Devar Torah, V'yoid, and furthermore, Kol Mitzvah Saseh Nechayvinu Midrabbanan, according to your approach, then all Mitzvah Saseh, there should be a rabbinic expectation of their fulfillment, which is not the case. In other words, according to Abaye, that responded that Rav Ado's din of Noshim Chayos Kiddush is rabbinic, even though it's a Mitzvah Sei Shazman Groma, we could extend that to all other Mitzvah Sei Shazman Groma and say women are Chayavos Midrabbanan, which is not the case. Elo Omar Rava. Omar Kro, Rava's approach is as follows. Zohor Vishomor. There are two psukim focusing on Shabbos, one in the Aseres Adibros mentioned in Shmois, and the other in the Aseres Adibros found in Sefer Dvarim. One begins with the pasuk of Zochor Es Yom HaShabbos HaKadosho, and the other begins with the word Shomor. The word Shomor is indicative of negative commands. For example, one should not do Melochus on Shabbos, to cease from constructive activity. That falls under the realm of Shomor Es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadosho. And we say as follows, Kol Sheyeshno B'Shmira, anyone who is bound to the Shmira aspect of Shabbos, that's the negative commands of Shabbos, do not cease, in other words, cease from constructive activity, from Melocha. So anyone who is bound by that, and that of course includes women, women are bound to all negative commands. So Yeshno B'Shira, they are also included in the positive commands of Shabbos, which includes Kiddush. V'hani Noshi, women, hoyo v'isnu b'shmira, since they are included in Shmira, isnu b'shira, they're included in the Zechira, which is a reference to Kiddush. So by virtue of this posuk relationship, Zohar v'shomar, women are bound to Kiddush. And that would also make them bound on a Torah level, because we're dealing here with psukim from the Torah. Omar le Ravina le Rava, Noshim b'virchas hamazon, Toraisa oy d'rabbanan. What about the level of obligation that women have with regard to Birkas HaMazon? Granted, we said that women are obligated to recite the Birkas HaMazon. What about the level of obligation? The Rashi says here, Noshim Birkas HaMazon Doraisa Tiv V'chata V'Savata V'Avei Mitzvah Sei Shein Azman Groma. The pasuk simply says, if you eat and reach a point of satisfaction, so you shall make a bracha V'chata V'Zata and Uvei Rachta. And it's not a time-bound issue, per se. Or, is it Durabonon? And the Svora to say that it's Durabonon. So, Rashi points out, Dichtiv, Al Haaretz HaToyva Shenosalach. In the Birchas HaMazon, we recite that. Va'aretz lo nitno, Al Haaretz HaToyva Shenosalach. We say this, which is a pasuk, of course, in the Torah, which is associated with the Birchas HaMazon, and in it we say regarding the wonderful land that you gave us. Women are not part of the division of the land of Israel. If you'll say, well, the daughters of Slavchad received a portion in the division of the land of Israel, so that we say, they simply took over the position of their father, who deserved a portion in the land by virtue of the fact that he was one of those that exited Mitzrayim. So the Gemara raised its question: is the obligation of women because of Muslim a Torah level or a rabbinic level? Lamai nafkamina, the Gemara goes on, lamai nafkamina, what practical difference does it make? Lafuke rabim yidei choivasan, to enable others to fulfill their Birchas HaMazon obligation by this individual, in this case a woman, reciting the Birchas HaMazon, to enable them to fulfill their obligation, or she will be Moitzi the Rabbin. Iyamris Doraisa, if you say that the woman's level of obligation is Doraisa, and she is sitting with men that obviously have a Torah level obligation, so Osi Doraisa, Mapik Doraisa, people on the same level of obligation are able to fulfill the obligation for others. In other words, by one person reciting and the others hearing the recitation, they will be Yotze. That is assuming they're on the same level of obligation. The E Amris Durabonon, if you say that women are obligated only on a rabbinic level, which means on a Torah level they are not obligated, have a she'eno mechuyev bedavar, they are then to be classified as non-obligated, again on a Torah level. The chol she'eno mechuyev bedavar, and someone who is not obligated, eno motzi es harabim yidei chavasan, they are incapable, unqualified to enable others to fulfill their obligation. They can't be motzi others. They can't exempt others through their recitation. So the question is, my, what is the level? Is it the women's level in Birchas HaMazon Doraisa or Derabbanan? Toshma. So we bring a Tanaic source to resolve this, which says, Be'emes Amru, Ben Mevorech Loviv, and the word Ben means a son, but in this case it's a minor, a katan. Minor son can say the Birchas HaMazon for his father if his father doesn't know how to say it. The Eved Mevorech L'Rabo, a slave, likewise can do the same for his master. The Isha Mevoreches L'Bailo, and here we've dashed underline, this is the main point of the source, of bringing it in over here. A woman recites the Birchas HaMazon for her husband. Avol Amru Chachamim, Tovu Me'eru La'odom She'ishto Avonav Mevorechen Lo. Nevertheless, the Chachamim said that a curse should be upon, cursed be one who didn't bother learning how to say the Birchas HaMazon and needs his wife or his children to be motzi him his obligation, to exempt him from his obligation. So Iyamris Bishlamo Doraisa, if you say that it's a Torah level that women have regarding Birchas HaMazon, so then Osi Doraisa Mapik Doraisa, then we can say that she is on the same Torah, she's on the same level of obligation, and she can exempt him from his Torah level obligation. Elo Iyamris, but if you say Derabbanan, that she's of a rabbinic level, Osi Derabbanan Umabik Doraisa, could it be that someone who's only on a rabbinic level of obligation can exempt someone who has a higher Torah level? So at this point, the Gemara wants to conclude the issue and say that she's clearly on a Doraisa level. The Gemara asks, if you say that, well, aren't other individuals mentioned in the same source, including a minor, letamech, according to you, that reached the conclusion that the woman is on a Torah level, katan bar chiyuvahu, could it be that a katan, a minor, is also, a bar chiyuvah is also obligated? It's not true. We know that minors are not obligated in mitzvah fulfillment. They're not, certainly not on a Torah level of obligation, and yet it says in the same source that ben moitzi es aviv. Ella, hocha b'mayaskinos. Rather, this source is talking about a different circumstance, and we can't conclude from this source that women are on a doraisa level. So, what is it talking about in this source? Hocha b'mayaskinos, kigoin she'ochal shiro d'rabbanan. The one who is going to benefit from being exempted by a reciter, he, the man in this case, he ate a shiur d'rabbanan, meaning he ate a small amount of food, a small quantity that on a Torah level does not obligate him to the Birchas HaMazon. The Torah speaks about a person eating to satiety, where he's sated, and if he doesn't reach sevi'a, so he's not obligated on a Torah level. Only on a rabbinic level is he expected to say the Birchas HaMazon. So since the man in this case is only on a rabbinic level, so the osi d'rabbanan umapik d'rabbanan, those like the minor who is obligated on a rabbinic level, can exempt the father who is also obligated only on a rabbinic level. So, and it's in this context that the woman is saying the Birchas HaMazon for her husband. But to use this source to conclude that the woman reaches a Torah level, that would not be, it would be unfounded, because the cotton is mentioned in the same context, and the cotton under no circumstances reaches a Torah level. Dorash Rav Avira. Rav Avira held forth, Zimnin Omar Lo Mishmei D'Rav Ami, V'Zimnin Omar Lo Mishmei D'Rav Asi. Sometimes he said the following in the name of Rav Ami, and sometimes in the name of Rav Asi. Omru Malachi Hashor Sefer HaKodesh Baruch Hu. The angels raised a question to the Almighty, and their question lasts a couple of lines. And that's indicated by the shin encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with an ascending vertical dashed line. They ask the Almighty, Ribon Shalom, Kosu b'toroscho, it says in your Torah, Asher lo yisa ponev l'ikaf shochat, that you do not show favoritism and you do not accept bribery. In other words, that you are a totally just and letter of the law type dealing with humanity. And yet, when it comes to the Jewish people, we see in the psukim that you do show favoritism and look away at from sinning, etc. Diftiv Yisoh Hashem Ponov Elecha. Yisoh Hashem is the opposite of Lo Yisoh Ponim. So how do you explain your behavior, your attitude toward the Jewish people, as opposed to what you claim to be as someone who's lo yisa ponim? Omar lohem. So the Almighty answered, V'chi lo esa ponim l'Israel. Could it be that I shall not show them favoritism? Shekosavti lem b'Torah. I stated in my Torah v'ilchata v'sovato uverachtos Hashem Elokecha, that as far as the need for reciting Birchas HaMazon, that's only if you reach a stage of satiety. The heim medaktikim al atzmon ad kizayis v'ad kibetza, and yet they observe a stringency upon themselves. They impose self-imposed stringency to recite the Birchas HaMazon after eating a much smaller quantity of food, an olive quantity or an egg quantity. That's a machlokes tanoim, but it's a much smaller quantity than that which would lead to satisfaction. So just like they extend themselves beyond the letter of the law, I too, in my dealings with them, extend myself beyond the letter of the law. And hence, that's the reason that I show expressions of favoritism and overlook sinning on all occasions, on many occasions. The Mishnah. Balkeri maharer belibo v'eino mevorech lo lefoneo v'lo lachreo. A balkeri is a man that had a male emission. When it comes to Kriya Shema, he is not to recite it verbally, but he thinks about it. Mahara is to imagine it in internal imagination of the words of the recitation without actually verbalizing it. The Eino Mavorach, he doesn't do the brachas of Kriya Shema, which are before and after it, even in a state of Hirhur. Hirhur is this internalized imagining of the text. V'al hamozoin mevorech la'acharov v'eino mevorech lefonov. The Baal Keri, when it comes to brachas regarding food, so he says the brachas hamazon, which is the bracha after food, but not the brachos before. And Rashi points out that's something that's a Torah level obligation, and therefore he has to deal with it, but the bracha lefonov is not doraisa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer mevorach lefneim ulachreim, that one is the Baal Keri does bless before and after. As we continue in the Gemara, we have a machlokes between Ravino and Rav Chisda. Now, and we've noted their names with geometric forms to highlight this machlokes. You have Ravino over here, and on the first of the wide lines, Rav Chisda also noted. The machlokes concerns hirhur kedibor domi or not. Is hirhur tantamount to speech? Ravina, Omar Ravina, Zoisimeris, from this Mishnah we can conclude hirhur kedibor domi, that hirhur is like speech. Rashi says, "Kedibur domi v'chol adam nami yotzi yedei chavasa bihur." And if you accept Ravina's conclusion, then anyone could fulfill his obligation of those mitzvahs that require speech through hirhur, through this internalized recitation. Te'i sakadaitoch lav kedibur domi. If one were to think otherwise, that hirhur is not kedibur, lo mamar, then why bother being maharer? Elamai, hirur, kedibur domi. Well, you want to say that hirur is like dibur, then yotzi bisfosov, so why doesn't the Baal Keri just articulate it? Why doesn't he just say it? Answer, the reason the Baal Keri doesn't actually say it is kida ashkichon besinai, as we saw in the case of the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai. At the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai was an experience that measures were taken that they should not be Baalei Keriyon. They were separated from their wives prior to the giving of the Torah, and at the giving of the Torah there was speech, so that in order for Torah speech to take place, one has to be like at Mount Sinai. They were non Baalei Keriyon. So only because of that we say that a Baal Keri cannot speak words of Torah. However, hirhur would be all right. The next opinion, Rav Chisda Omar, hirhur lav kedibur domi. Hirhur is not the equivalent of actual speech. The isal gadaita hirhur kedibur domi, if one were to think that they are on equal level, then yotzi bisvasov, then articulate it, verbalize it literally. Elamai, hirhur lav kedibur domi. So you want to say that it's not the same as dibur. Loma mahara, then why bother the Baal Keri in being Mahara in the first place? Omar Abulazar, this is the first of a couple of approaches to the issue. We see this is number one, and there'll be a second approach later. So Rav Elazar says, Kidei Shaloihe Kola Oilam Oiskin Boi, Vuhu Yoshev Ubotel. The reason we want the Baal Keri to Mahara, but Kriyashma is, we don't want a situation where everyone is reciting the Kriyashma, is involved with the Kriyashma, and he is sitting doing nothing. So we have him also preoccupy himself through hirur of the same topic. The Gemara asks v'nigrois b'pirka achrina, so why not have him? Why must he limit himself to Kriyat Shema? Let him study another chapter. Omer of Alabarava, B'dovar Shatzibor Oiskin Boi. We want him to be involved with the same thing that everyone else is currently doing. The Gemara asks at the top of Daf Chof Aleph, Amud Aleph, V'hare tfila t'dover shatzibur oiskin asukin bo. When it comes to tfila, Shmon Esrei, this is something that the entire community is involved with, Utnan, and it says, Hoya oimed b'tfila v'nizkar shu bal keri, lo yafsik eli katzer, a person started Shmona Esrei, and he remembered that he was a Baal Keri after he started the Shmona Esrei. So it says, lo yafsik, he shouldn't stop, eli katzer, but rather he should shorten each brocha. Taimo d'asa, why does he continue the rest, why does he continue the Shmona Esrei? Because he started. Ha lo aschil, if he didn't start, lo yaschil. So he shouldn't start at all. So what about the consideration of Dovar Shatzibur Asukin, but why don't we tell him to be involved with Shmona Esrei even if he didn't start? Shiny Tfila, the issue of Shmona Esrei is different. The less bo malchus shamayim. Now, regarding this particular phrase, there is a discussion. There are different approaches in the Rashi. Rashi mentions a couple of different approaches. If we look in the Rashi at the top, it says "Deles bo malchus shemayim." The Shmona Esrei is different in that it doesn't have this "Ein melech ha'olam bebruchas shel Shmona Esrei." There's another approach on the third line from the top of Rashi, "Lishno achrina shiny tefila deles bo malchus shemayim." Kabbalas Malchus Shemayim. Tefillah doesn't have this prominent aspect that you found in the case of Kriya Shema, of the acceptance of the kingdom of the Almighty. That's Kidi Isa B'Kriya Shema. Shemekabalov es Hashem La'odoy L'Melech Miyuchad. So that's why we say in the case of Kriya Shema, we expect the Baal Keri to participate, albeit through Hihur. And in the case of Tefillah, we say if he didn't begin, then don't even start. And that's because Tefillah does not embody this element of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. The Gemara continues, V'harei Birchas HaMozon L'Achrov, the less Bo Malchus Shemayim. What about Birchas HaMozon? The brocha on food afterwards means the final brocha, as opposed to the beginning, the brocha Rishona. That Birchas HaMozon doesn't have Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim in Utan Al HaMozon Mevorech L'Achrov Einu Mevorech L'Fonov. We see that the Baal Keri does occupy himself with Birchas HaMozon even though it doesn't have Ol Malchus Shemayim. So then the question goes back to Tefillah. If the whole point is being involved with something that has Ol Malchus Shemayim in it, well then how do you explain the expectation of the Baal Keri to be involved with Birchas HaMozon? Ella, second approach, Kriya Shema Birchas HaMozon, these two mitzvahs where we see the Baal Keri is expected to be involved, Doraisa, they are mitzvahs that are on a Torah level. Utfilah Derabonan, Tfilah, as important as Shmona Esrei is, it nevertheless is of a rabbinic level obligation. And therefore, we say in the case of Tefillah, which is rabbinic, if he didn't begin, so he doesn't get started whatsoever. This concludes today's Gemara section of Gemara Markings Daf Yomi. For those who are interested, our site offers a shiur on today's Daf Yomi Tosfos, presenting the Tosfos text with explanation.